as he said, really this series in the book of Hosea has been one long call to return to God. And it really, every single week, could have been just titled, Come Back, or Return. And so I hope that the Lord has spoken to your heart. And I'm going to ask you to grab a copy of God's Word if you have one today. And let's turn to the very last chapter in the book of Hosea. We will conclude this series today by covering the very last verse of this great little book called Hosea. I hope it's been a ministry to your heart. It's been one of my favorite series that we've ever done here at Cross Church. So I hope that it's been a ministry to your own soul during this time. You think about where we've been the last month or so. We've had what we call 21 days of prayer, which is an intentional time that we set aside every January as a church to just seek the Lord. In many ways, just to do what Hosea has called us to do, just to return to the Lord. And so we've done that alongside of these sermons from the book of Hosea. And so we'll conclude Hosea, as I said. And I don't know if you found yourself at a place where you thought, you know what, God's done so much in my life over the last 21 or 27 days, whatever it may be, and there's always a fear. I mean, I just don't want this to end. I don't want to go back to what I was in. I don't want to make the same mistakes. I don't want to go back to the same sins. And yet every single one of us, if we're really honest with ourselves, have had those significant times with God that just kind of died out. Anybody ever been there? I made so many commitments to God, and things were going so well, and then before you know it, I just began to drift and to drift and to drift. And here's what I would just say. It's hard to make lasting change in your life while you're drifting. Now, that's a simple statement for me to make, but it really is. It's hard to have a hot heart for God or a long-lasting, sustained fire for God if the fire keeps going out. And so if you think about this, much like we've alluded to in the past few weeks of building a campfire, for you to have a long-lasting fire, there's a couple things got to happen. You got to make sure oxygen is getting to the fire. You got to put new wood on it. You got to at times stoke the fire. In other words, this is a very intentional thing when you think about keeping a hot, that is, heart for the Lord. I said that backwards, didn't I? A heart that is hot for the Lord. And so we're going to talk about that today. This whole series has been called Rekindle, and I hope and pray that the Lord has rekindled your heart for the Lord. And today, what I believe the Lord is asking us to do as we conclude this series is really talk about the word reordering. Reordering. I think that's ultimately what the passage gets at today. And if this is your very first time here at Cross Church, welcome. We're so excited to have you. Or maybe you've been out for a few weeks and you're just now kind of coming in from the holidays. Let me give you a quick snapshot of the book of Hosea so you have some mindset of what we're talking about today. Hosea is a strange story. I'll just be honest with you. It's a strange story, and we've been calling this perhaps the worst call that God has ever given to any prophet in the history of the world. This guy named Hosea, he says, listen, there's this prostitute over here, and her name is Gomer, and I want you to go marry her, love her, and have children with her. And automatically, some of you are like, excuse me? Run that back one more time. What did you just say? And I did not misspeak. That's exactly what the passage speaks about. And the whole reason that God did this, if you're wondering, man, why would God ask this godly man, this prophet, to marry a prostitute? And essentially the message was this, that I'm going to give the people of God a physical picture of their spiritual reality. That over and over and over and over, the people of God are leaving me and they're going to other gods and they are prostituting themselves spiritually. And so you're going to give them a picture through this marriage that ultimately will show them what's happening in a spiritual sense. And so we get to this idea of these couple weeks of what we've discussed together. We talked about returning to the Lord. If you remember Hosea chapter 6, come, let us return. Let us press on to know him. Last week, Brian talked about here the idea of repentance. I was at Springdale and Pinnacle talking about the same thing here. Hosea chapter 10, sow for yourselves righteousness. Break up your fallow ground. In other words, the hardened part of our heart, the part that is unfruitful for the gospel, we need to break up that ground. And then we get to reordering today. And I want to give you what I'm just going to call the big idea of reordering. And you see my beautiful, lovely umbrella today. Multicolored just for you, okay? But here's what the big idea of reordering is. That everything in my life must come under the authority of God. That's where you got to get today. Everything in my life must come under the authority of God. And you know what everything means? Just call it out. That's right, my friends. Every single thing. What the last 20-plus days have meant for so many of you is this, of God really has called you back, and you've said, you know what, I've been off in some ways, but God, I'm coming back to your ways, I'm coming back to your commands, I'm coming under your authority. And yet what happens so often after a great season with God is we just begin to step out just in this one area of my life, or just in these two or three areas of my life, and everything else is still under here, but I just want to kind of be free again. I don't want to answer to God again. And so it's this back and forth and back and forth. And here's kind of the picture I want to give you today. Sustained fire for God happens when you are surrendered under the authority of God. And your fire for God begins to go out when you leave the authority of God in your life. And so we'll talk about that as we go through this passage together. But I just want us to read, and let's just go to the very last chapter, very last verse of the Bible here, or of the book of Hosea, I should say, and look at chapter 14, verse 9. He says, "Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the upright walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them." Now, as we get started together, I think it's always appropriate for me to just stop and explain why we do what we do with the Bible here at Cross Church. And I could say it this way, in just a moment, we're literally going to walk through the passage just as it's mentioned. The phrases, the words, and you say, well, why are you just repeating back to us what the Bible says? Like, I didn't have to get up and come to church for that. I can read the Bible on my own. And yet there's an intentionality in the way that we preach the Bible, because we believe the Bible is God's word. The last thing that you want to hear today is the words of Nick Floyd, okay? Just ask my wife. Trust me, okay? I don't have that much to say to you, but there's a reason God wrote the book, and that's for your life, and that's for your instruction. And there's a reason why specifically he says things, and he writes certain phrases in certain ways, and he gives specific words for specific reasons. And so that's why we do what we do here. And so let's just go back to the very beginning of the passage here. Let's just begin with this first phrase. He says, "Whoever is wise, whoever is wise." Now, everybody in the room would like to consider yourself a wise person, right? You say, well, as opposed to what? As opposed to being a stupid person or an unwise person. You would like other people to look at you, maybe it's your kids or grandkids, maybe it's your friends, and you would like them to say, you know what, she is a wise woman or he is a wise man. Well, the Bible is about to define what real wisdom is. And he says these phrases, he says, let him understand these things. I would encourage you to underline the word understand. And then he goes right into, he says, whoever is discerning. I would encourage you to underline the word discerning. What you've got to realize about the word understand and about the word discerning is that this is actually the exact same word, just used in a little bit of a different way. This is actually a word that is used 247 times in the Old Testament alone, this idea of an understanding or of a discernment. Now, to understand something means that I know something, right? And the word discerning means that I can distinguish, I know what is right and what is wrong. Does that make sense? So same word, just a little bit of a different usage here in this. And he says, listen, if you want to be wise, if you want to have understanding and discernment, he says the next phrase, he says, let him know them. I would circle the word no. I would highlight it. I do something with that word because it's very, very significant in this passage. It means that you need to be acquainted with it. That's what it's saying. And it even in one usage of this word speaks about the physical union of a husband and wife. Now we got the kids in the room today a little bit here and there, so I'll just speak high, okay, adults? So here's what the Bible's saying. You as a follower of Jesus Christ, you must be intimately acquainted with what I'm about to talk about. Like, you got to really, really know. And everything I've just talked about through the rest of the book, you got to become intimately. If you don't know anything else, you got to know these things. And so if you think about it, just practically, he's here at the end of the book, right? So we got 14 previous chapters where he has laid out the truth of God, the ways of God for us. And so if you ask the question, well, what are the most significant truths from the book of Hosea? What I did is I went through all of our three messages leading up to this message. And I said, you know what, here's what I think are the most significant spiritual truths of the book of Hosea. So let me give you five very quickly. These are all review. If you're a note taker, write quickly, okay? Number one, God allures us to return to him. Much like Luke said in the picture of the prodigal son, this is not an angry God who is vengeful when we come back, but it is a loving God who allures us and speaks tenderly to us in the wilderness, calling us to return to him. Second significant truth is that God brings about pain in our lives to bring healing. That's what Shane had referenced just a moment ago, and it's actually a line that you saw in the song, that there are times in your life where God will further injure you, not just for pain, and not just because he wants to be mean to you, but because he's trying to bring ultimate healing to you. He's trying to do something in you and through you that he couldn't have done unless there was even more pain in your life. Number three is this: part of returning to God is breaking up the fallow ground of my heart. The fallow ground. This, remember, if you were here last week, it speaks to the unseeded, unplanted soil. In other words, there was a time when this land was useful, but it is no longer useful. There was a time where I was fruitful for God, but no longer is that true in my life. You got to break up that ground, that hard-hearted ground. Number four would be this: returning to God is not an effort to get things from God, but to get God. And I've referenced in previous weeks that if you have wondered, you know, what is a successful 21 days of prayer look like? How do I know if God's really done something in my life because I don't feel like he's answered my prayers that I was praying, or I'm just confused on some directional things in my life? And here's what I would say. If on January 21st you laid your head on the pillow and you thought, you know what, I am so much more intimately acquainted with the Lord than I was on January 1st, well then it's time to clap. You've had a successful 21 days of prayer. So we don't come to God to get things from God. We come to God to get more of God. And then perhaps what is my favorite out of all five things, and maybe my favorite thing that we've learned in the book of Hosea, is that when we return to God, he meets us in a special way. No matter where you are today, no matter how hard-hearted you are, no matter what sin you're involved in, the call of Hosea is this: if you just return to God, there is something divine that happens in that moment. There's something special and unique that happens right there in that moment, and God will meet you in a very, very special way. And it will happen as sure as the dawn and as sure as the spring rains upon the nation of Israel, this will happen. And so the call of God, when you think about closing the book of Hosea, is to take all of these five things that we just learned about, and here's what Hosea the prophet is saying. You want to be wise. You want to have understanding in your life. You want to be a discerning person in your life. Then you got to be intimately acquainted with what I've just talked about. You got to really know the ways of God by looking at the activity of God and the Word of God. Like, you got to know that. You got to be so consumed with that. And that is a person who walks down the path of wisdom. Now, I talked to you about how today that I believe God is calling us as we conclude this study together, that God would really reorder some things in our lives. And I want to encourage you, if you've missed a couple of previous weeks here, I would encourage you to go on crosschurch.com and you can catch up and kind of be a part of the journey here that God has brought our church through. But today we close this by talking about a reordering. And it's interesting when you think about reordering something. I don't know if you've ever had like a bookshelf that you've brought order to, or maybe it's like your spices in your kitchen or something like that in your house that you kind of had just had all a mess, and then one day you're like, okay, I'm sick of this. I'm going to reorder some things, and we're going to make this orderly, okay? Now, what that indicates when a reordering takes place in any area of your life, it's not that something is missing. It's just that something is out of place. Now, that's like, that'll preach, y'all, okay? And I would say this, in your life spiritually, it's not that something is missing, but it could very well be that just some things are out of place. Some things are out of whack, out of priority, that God is saying, listen, okay, part of your returning to me, part of your coming back to me is to now put some things in place in a reordering that will ultimately help your fire for God in your heart stay sustained. And so what does reordering look like? It means like I just kind of get under here, under the authority of God again in my life over and over, and I don't leave it. I stay it. reordered people stay under the authority of God. That's what we're going to ask you to do today. But I think the passage, as you look at really the last half of the last verse here, speaks towards three reorderings that I think need to take place in your life. Okay, so I'm going to talk through these three. Number one is this. God is calling you to a reordering of mindset. A reordering of mindset. Just keep on reading in the verse here. He says, the ways of the Lord are right. The ways of the Lord are right. In other words, everything in my mind must come under the authority of God, recognizing God's ways are right. So an easy way to think about this, God's ways are right, my ways are not. Let's just say that together. God's ways are right, my ways are not. Every morning when I pray through my prayer list, and I think I've shared this with you before, the first thing I pray for is the filling of the Spirit. Of God, fill me today, and would you use me for your kingdom today? And then I pray a second thing that I just call a yielding to the Spirit, which I believe theologically is the pathway to the filling of the Spirit. That God, I'm getting out of the way, you go first, I'm stepping behind you, and you're going to call the shots in my life today. And so right there in my office early in the mornings, I did it the same thing this morning. I usually end up saying something like this. Sometimes I even hold up my hands before God, and I say something like this. God, not my way today, but your way today. What is that? I think it's Hosea 14:9. God, your ways are right. My ways are not. I'm coming under the authority of your ways in every single aspect of my life. And when you think about a reordering of mind, this is something significant for every person in the room. Okay, this is could be a total departure from what you were raised under. Think about it this way. Okay, let me give you this picture. How many of you were not raised in Arkansas, and so naturally you never rooted for the Arkansas Razorbacks? Okay, half, maybe 40, 50% of the room. Okay, on the flip side of that, how many would say I was raised the right way? I was raised right here in Arkansas. I love them hogs, right? Okay, there you go. Now. For those of you who were not raised here but have moved here, how many of you would say, you know what, I wasn't raised in it, but now that I'm here, I mean, I root for the Hogs, throw on TV, I'll watch for a little bit. You know, how many of you would testify to that? Okay, well, that's good. You've seen the glory of the gospel. You've come to the light, okay? It's a good way to think about the ways of God in your life. Some of you were raised in homes that had nothing to do with the ways of God. And if I were to ask for a show of hands, probably half the room would say, I mean, my parents weren't followers of Christ. I didn't get saved until I was in high school or college or as an adult. And, man, this was new to me. I was not raised in this. This is still even a struggle and a wrestle for me. And I'm still undergoing the process of what you're talking about right here. Others of you would raise your hand, and maybe the other half of the room would say, you know what, Nick, thankfully I was raised with believing parents who lifted up the ways of God high, and they wanted us to live according to the law of God and all that kind of stuff. Well, let me give kind of a hope encouragement to both, because no parent bats 1,000. Can we all agree on that? Is that God is calling even you, regardless of what home you were raised in, to a reordering of mindset. And here's the mindset. God's ways are right. My ways are not. If I feel something, or if I want something, or if I'm just feeling like I have a right to something, chances are I'm wrong, okay? God is right, and I am not. And here's like a telltale way. If you think about, well, what's a byproduct of me growing deeper in my walk with the Lord? I think that's something that every follower of Christ would hopefully assume towards, and you would want that to happen in your life. But Nick, what's a byproduct of me growing deeper in my faith? You know what it is? Easy byproduct. I am becoming more convinced that God's ways are right in every single way in my life. I'm just more convinced. And you come through a 21 days of prayer season like that, and you're just reminded, you're like, man, I can't believe I've been living this way, because God, your ways are right here. And here's what I would just say. You know, remember when Jesus said, I've come to live, give you life and life abundant? It's like this promise from Jesus of, man, I've come to give you life like you've never even imagined. You want to know where that abundant life is found? Right here. So what we can take from that, you will never live the abundant life that Jesus Christ has promised you outside of the authority of God. And it all begins with a reordering of mindset. Man, God, your ways are right, my ways are not. Let's talk about a second reordering here. It's a reordering of priorities. A reordering of priorities. Just keep on reading in the passage. He says this. He says a simple phrase. He says, the upright walk in them. The upright. Your version of the Bible may translate this the word righteous. It's the same idea here. Who walks in the ways of God? The righteous do. The just do. Christians do. Children of God do. Does this make sense today? It's like those are the people who walk in the ways of God. I'm a parent. I have four children. Maybe you resonate with this. Do you ever get upset with other people's kids? Sometimes I get upset with my own kids because they're not obeying the rules of the Floyd house. But sometimes I get upset with other people's kids because they're not obeying my rules. Like, even though they're not in my house, like, you should do this. And, one of the things that I do in my life pretty religiously is I try to avoid all kid birthday parties. Anybody with me? It's kind of a joke amongst our close friends here at the church of just, I'm just not going to show up to your kid's birthday party, okay? And I just want to, like, be together. I don't expect you to come to my kids, okay? I don't want to come to yours. You don't want to come to mine. Let's just have a godly understanding between that. I love your kid, love you. I just don't want to go to the birthday party, okay? But have you ever been at a kid's birthday party, and it's not your kid, and they're just acting so bratty? You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not saying thank you, or they want more pizza, or, you know, whatever, and they're just, like, going off. You're like, golly, I can't stand you right now. Why are you acting this way? You should act like the rules that I've instituted in my house, and you say, well, that's not your kid, right? You think about this same principle here works with lost people, people who do not know the Lord Jesus. And often what we see, things that are highlighted in the culture and things that really rub us wrong at times, are people who are simply not the children of God. And it's just like a siren saying, like it's just an indication, I don't know the Lord, and I don't care about his laws, and I'm just not going down that path. The upright walk in the ways of the Lord. The lost, they don't. Now, this doesn't mean that there's not times for the people of God, for the righteousness of God to be lifted high. I mean, when we see something take place like we just saw this past week related to abortion in the state of New York, like, there's a place for the people of God to say, this is beyond barbaric and beyond sinful, and we are going to be held accountable before the Lord. So there's like a place for that. But I think what Hosea is after is, yes, that's no doubt a reality here, that the people who do not know the Lord are not going to act like they know the Lord. But here's what I think Hosea is after, is that we are to be way more concerned about our own lives and our brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Because they're the upright. That's the righteous. Like, they are the ones who should be living according to the ways of God. And yet, sometimes it just doesn't happen. You ever heard the statement, love the sinner, hate the sin? That's a blessing, isn't it? Love the sinner. I love you, but I can't stand what you're doing. And I have a pastor friend named James, and I love the way he says it. He says, where in the Bible are we told to hate someone else's sin? Anybody got the reference? Like, nowhere in the Bible are you supposed to, hey, neglect your own life and point out everybody else's stuff. He said the statement should go like this, love the sinner, hate your own sin. I think that's what Hosea would tell us today. The upright walk in them, okay? So you need to look in the mirror. And I need to look in the mirror. We need to think about our brothers and sisters in Christ, and they're the ones we hold accountable. They're the ones we encourage to live according to the ways of God. Let me give you from this little passage here what I'll just say is a personal mission statement and then a personal commitment, okay? If you're a note taker, like to write things down. Here's the mission statement, okay? God's ways are right, I will walk in them. That's a great thing to write on a note card. It's very, very simple, obviously. And, you know, I think it's pretty declarative. If you put this on your dash, you put this on your mirror and you're getting ready, just a reminder, God, your ways are right, and I'm going to walk in them. Me personally. Like, today's not about my spouse. Today's not about my kids. Today's not about other people who are not obeying you. Today's about me, and I'm going to do things right before the Lord. And I will reorder every priority under that banner. So I will get myself under the authority of God and say, you know what? I'm going to get in this book, I'm going to get in the church to be under the book. I'm going to be obedient to the book. You've seen a theme here. That's a personal mission statement that God, your ways are right, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to walk in them. Well, let's talk about a personal commitment here, and it kind of goes back to what I was just talking about a moment ago. And here's the personal commitment. I will be way more concerned about my own sin than anybody else's. That is a tremendous takeaway from the book of Hosea today. That is a great thing to encapsulate your time in this great book of the Word of God. You know what? Before I point out anybody else's stuff, you know that's how we sometimes never grow? I've known people in my life who they never could get over the hurdle of other people's sin to deal with their own sin. And so it looks a lot like, well, I know what you're in. It's bad. And I know about you and you and you. And I tell you, man, if everybody else knew, you'd be shamed out of here. But I feel pretty good about myself when I look at your sin. Like, so against the Word of God, right? What Hosea is telling us is, man, the upright walk in them, I need to look in the mirror and before I deal with anybody else's sin, before I even think about holding anybody else accountable to the ways of God, I'm going to look in the mirror and I'm going to remove the plank from my own eye. You know, a real place of freedom? Like, I'm going to give you one of those things that you can just like, okay, you ready for this? It'll be groundbreaking for some people. People will never ultimately answer to you. They will only answer to God. Everybody together. Okay, that's just a safe place to be. That's a good place to be. Man, I can't change my husband. I can't change my wife. I can't change my kid. I can't deal with that coworker. Like, I'm just so burdened about their sin. Well, guess what? They are never, ever, ever going to answer to you, but they will answer to God. And so there's just times where you just have to say, God, I just hand them over. Just ways of the Lord are right. The upright walk in them, and they're not. So you just figure that one out right there. Let's talk about a third reordering, and we'll move towards closure here. It's a reordering of perspective. A reordering of perspective. The whole passage and the book ends with kind of a random statement. Transgressors stumble in them. There's not even like an amen at the end, or not even like a praise the Lord, hallelujah. You know, it just kind of ends like, and transgressors stumble in the ways of God. I say, what? Why is that? It's easy to look at people in the world. Maybe you've done this before, people who do not know the Lord but seemingly have everything going right. You ever seen those people? They've got all the things materially. They've got all the things going on in their family right. Business seems to be thriving. And I'm over here trying to live according to the ways of God, and I am dying. And maybe you've even told the Lord this before. God, why are you blessing them, and I'm just ruined over here? Anybody ever been there? I would encourage you with something, and then I'll move on. Don't mistake material things for the approval of God, number one. I do believe God gives us material things. I think God gives us spiritual things, emotional things, material things. Like, so he's the giver of all, but just don't take that as a stamp of approval always. He says, here's the real spiritual picture. Like, behind the curtain, everything that you think looks good, like when you're looking at their Instagram, and you're like, amazing. Amazing vacation. How do their kids all smile and look at the camera? Business is thriving. New car, new home. God, where? My car broke down here on the way to church today, you know? And it's like Hosea, God is just pulling back the curtain, and he's saying, hey, here's the real spiritual picture. Transgressors stumble in the ways of God. They trip. You know what the word transgressors means? It gives the idea of breaking away from a righteous authority. The idea of rebelling. It's an aggressive breach of relationship between two parties. It's all in the book of Hosea, Hosea 7:13. Woe to them, for they have strayed from me. Destruction to them, for they have rebelled against me. I would redeem them, but they speak lies against me. Hosea 8:1, because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law. Hosea 13:16, Samaria shall bear her guilt because she has rebelled against her God. People who don't know God rebel against the ways of God. That's like the most elementary truth we'll say today, and yet we sometimes get so confused on that. Lost people will not follow the ways of God. They do not care about it. They're not thinking about it. They're not even concerned about it. And you say, well, Nick, how do I know if I'm a believer or not a believer? I think this idea of rebelling is a key way to understand that the proof is in the pudding. Even though we have a heart to rebel, a saved person is someone who, once they're here, they're like, oh gosh, yes, I'm so reminded of the peace and the security and the satisfaction of Christ living under his authority. On the flip side of that, a person who is lost, and maybe you've got a son or a daughter who you raised in church, and you're like, man, I try to do everything right, but they show no heart for God. Are they saved or are they lost? I would boil it down to the line of rebelling against God. If they rebel against the ways of God, as that one country dude said, here's your sign. He said, but these people, they stumble. This word is used some 60 times in the Old Testament here. You think about what that looks like. I'm a little bit of a klutz. I get hurt every now and then, like I break my hand playing flag football recently, you know, that kind of stuff. But you think about when somebody's walking and they stumble. It's not like a cool picture, right? It means they're fallen, they're not upright, but they're down. The idea here, when you think about stumbling, references the consequences of sin and the judgment of God. It's a warm fuzzy to end the message today, right? The ways of God are right. The upright walk in them, but transgressors, they stumble in them. They experience the consequences of sin and the judgment of God, whether they realize it or whether they don't. We don't want to be people that stumble in the ways of God. So think about how the entire book ends here. It's all about the ways of God, okay? The righteous commands, the righteous actions, the righteous ways of God. And it really is like a dividing line right down the middle. And he's saying this to the person who doesn't know Jesus Christ: they stumble over the ways of God. And on the flip side of this, child of God in the room, Christian saved through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, here's the picture. These words and these ways are life. And if you want to live God's way, if you want to experience the abundant life that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, provided, it happens under there. Under there. And so you got to get there. And so there's really no better way to end this entire series than just to rely on the Lord to say, what's he telling you to do? You see, it's not, again, like something's missing in your spiritual life. It's just that things need to be reordered. They're out of place. They're out of whack. And part of spiritual maturity, part of having a long-lasting fire for God, is to grow up, to man up, to woman up, and just to say, you know what, I'm going to get my tail under God's authority, and I'm not going to leave there just because I have some desires. I'm not going to leave there just because it's uncomfortable. I'm not going to leave there because I'm so interested about what's out here, but I'm going to find my rest in the shadow of the Almighty, and I'm just going to rest. I'm going to recognize that real joy, real peace, real life, real satisfaction is found under God's authority, not outside of God's authority. And so I sincerely believe, like I often say, that the Spirit of God right now is working in your own heart to where God's telling you what you need to reorder. For some of you, you've gotten so far away from this book, like there's been no regular reading of it, no study of it, and so it's kind of like, well, yeah, of course the fire's going to die. Some of you, God is just bringing to mind the simple discipline of attending church regularly, being under the Word of God, as we say. If that's something you've been out of the habit of, or that's not been a part of your life, well, yeah, the fire for God is going to die out. And it could be a million other things like that, but those are two simple ones, okay? And so whatever God is asking you to do, this is the time, okay? Really, in my prayer for what God would do in our church, and I even told it to a group of men that prayed with me this morning, I said, I pray that God would break the dam. Break the dam. Whatever you have kind of holed up in your heart where you're saying, God, you can have everything else but this, break the dam. And you know, when God begins to do that in individuals, God begins to pour that out amongst us. It's no longer a me thing, but it's a we thing. And so may God break the dam right now in our hearts. I'm going to ask us to bow our head and close our eyes as we close this service. Our pastor is going to make their way to the front of each aisle. And today, if you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, obviously this message is a message for the church. This whole book has been a message for the people of God. And today may be a day where you just need to reorder some things. Maybe that needs to happen right now in this moment. Maybe you want to come to this altar and say, God, I'm just reordering some things. I'm getting some things back in the right place where they should be. There are others of you who you've never trusted Christ. And today, your step is to step under the authority of Jesus Christ for the very first time. And that is where you find life. That is where you find forgiveness and peace and joy. And I'm going to encourage you to run there today. I'm not saying run up on stage and get under the authority, this umbrella, literally. I'm just saying, man, run to Christ. And that's why these men are spread all over this room. And if you'll just come to them and say, hey, Pastor, I need Jesus, they will lead you to faith in Christ today. Maybe you're walking through something in your family. You need somebody to just put an arm around you and pray with you. We'd love to do it. Whatever God's telling you to do, would you do it now? Jesus, we give these last few moments to you in this service. Have your way with us, whatever it looks like. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand together all over the room. If you need to come, you come now. Our pastors are here.
Is not what you have required, no. You search much deeper within, through the way things are here. You're looking into my heart.
Come on, declare this as your prayer before God. Pastors will remain up here after the service. Let me pray for us as we close. Lord Jesus, continue the reordering right now. As we leave this place, as we go back into everyday normal life, would you do a spirit work in us? Give us relationships, give us people, give us things that push us towards you and your authority. That's in your name that we